Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Button. Co-hosting with me is a very retarded William Miller.
I'm sorry for that. This is start number two for this show. William Miller was dumb and forgot to click the record button on his audio. I'm sorry.
No,
Blake Buck.
It doesn't even matter now because you're not allowed to speak for the rest of the show. Also hosting with us is Justin Fick of Kill Monty fame.
Dude, I feel like I've been here before somehow.
All right, so we're finally back, guys. We're getting things. We did two shows this week. We're getting rolling, coming out with regular shows. And you know what that means? It's time for right now, battle.
Probably up there in like the three biggest challenges of my life, along with being born and playing Mega Man for the first time.
And you just must say two words. I accept.
I accept.
I accept.
I accept the challenge. Okie dokie.
Well, I'm done going on a hot date with my wife.
Look, that plan is over.
That plan is done.
I'm about to go on a hot date. No.
No.
You've got cancer again.
All right, so guys, what is battle, for those who don't know?
Well, battle is an ancient ritual that's been passed down ever. See, here's what happens. I'll recount the entire story. There was one beautiful day. There were two cavemen sitting in their cave. They're trying to figure out what to do. They killed their wildebeest and were munching on it. And they got into a little argument. One of them grunted at the other one, and the other one grunted. And they needed to solve the argument, so they invented the first game of battle, which is actually arm wrestling. It's my chop is stronger than your chop. That was battle number one.
Sylvester Stallone has perfected that art.
Yeah, if you really want to know the end game of that, you watch Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh my god, dude. I watched Rambo this weekend.
The new one?
Oh my god. The new one.
Is that
I stole
not
it
a treat?
Off the internet. Oh my god. Dude, he just kills everybody. Like, I could not believe how, it is easily the most violent movie I've ever seen. He just wastes everybody. The end of this movie, he gets in like this mounted gun on this truck, and there's a dude, there's like an enemy driving the truck. Oop, he just angles down and blows his face off.
Dude, I love the end of Rambo, the very first one. They're like, okay, Rambo, don't worry, we're going to send you back to Korea, where you can be happy and kill folks.
Yeah, I love how the very first Rambo movie is Rambo is sad because he's not killing people anymore. And because he's so sad, he goes insane and starts killing people.
No, dude, that's totally not it at all. He goes to, like, Mountain Town in Washington State or something, looking for his buddy from Nam. His buddy dead, and then he's hitchhiking and goes to this little town, and they're mean to him. So he kills everybody.
Dude, he totally goes into war flashback mode and just hides in the jungle, hides up in the trees.
Yeah.
And just starts murking fools.
Yeah.
Dude, so the first action scene, well, not the first one, but one of my favorite scenes from the new Rambo, which is called Rambo, is he's like, okay, so there's this war going on in this country, right? And so these missionaries from the U.S. come over, and they're like hippies wearing their Birkenstocks, you know, spraying on their off spray, all that crap, right? He's like, I'm not going to take you down the river. He's like, and they're like, oh, we've got to save the children. It's very important. He's like, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to like it. So, like, he like goes down the river. And they're stopped by these guards or whatever. You know, I wouldn't even look. I was drinking. I'm gonna be honest. Anyway, so they're like, we're gonna rape that woman, and Rambo's like, you ain't gonna rape that woman. No, we're gonna rape that woman. Blink, 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 blink. He kills all of them in like 1 second. Like their brains explode out of the back of their head. It is awesome.
Now see, that is really the essence of battle, is what we're talking about. It's a fundamental grunting disagreement, like grunt and counter grunt has now evolved into, I'm going to rape that woman, and no, you're not going to rape that woman, which results in battle.
That's right. So, Justin Fick, you have a very special battle for us this week. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, this is one that's dear to my heart. I've totally said this before. It's dear to my heart, and it was actually revealed to me the battle potential by Bruce Morrison. So I was talking to Bruce about the wonders of Taco Bell.
Right.
And the wonders of the Taco Bell taco sauce. And he's like, dude, that's battle. So because I was describing
dude,
to him,
that battle.
Yes. So I was describing to him how the taco sauce, the essence of it, is so good that I could take it and just rip open the packet and just stuff it down my gullet. So what I'm thinking, we make our combatants do, and now I said combatants, I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. What they're going to do is they're going to go out and loot a certain number of these packets, and then loot a certain number of the Taco Bell Crunchwrap Supreme, which is also also delicate ambrosia for my palate.
It's what Rambo eats in between blood.
Yes. This is what Rambo eats.
He eats blood.
When he's not eating people's throats.
Oh my god, there's a scene of Rambo where he just rips this dude's throat out with his bare hand.
That takes a certain amount of finesse. People knock that, but it takes a certain amount of just like finesse and just like the right shaped fingernails.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very delicate art.
You think he's like choking him. You're like, oh, is he choking him? But then you see blood and you're like, oh, he must have cut it. He must have stuck him with a knife. Oh, wait. He just ripped his throat out with his bare hand.
Oh, look, there's an esophagus.
Because I see it right there.
No, I think what's even manlier than that, though, awesome. there's a scene from Ricky O. It's that crazy ass, like, Hong Kong prison movie that they put on the forums where two dudes are fighting and good guy kicks bad guy's ass completely. And then bad guy, realizes that he's beaten, so he commits a puku and sort of stabs himself and guts himself. But then he comes right back, rips his own entrails out, and starts strangling the good guy with his large intestine.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a battle for the ages right there.
Dude, I love ultra-violent Yakuza flick. Love it. I wish my life was that.
It would be better than that game, Yakuza. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down, Yakuza.
Yeah, and I would say that. I don't even need to be a part of it all the time. I mean, it's like occasionally, just get some exercise, maybe like 2-3 times a week, some cardio. But I would just like to see it occurring. Just like walking on the, be like sitting at like a Starbucks or walking down the street or something, and just like this incredible bloody battle just erupts on the sidewalk across the way, and I'm just checking it out, sort of rubbernecking. I mean, that that would just make going out just so much more interesting.
Absolutely.
Just random, gratuitous bloodshed.
All right, so the challenge for the battle today, make a smoothie?
Yeah, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be getting the taco sauce, and then crunch wraps, burritos, whatever they want. It doesn't matter because it's all going into a blender. And they're making taco smoothie.
Now, you said contestants, just Fick.
Yes, there will be two combatants this time because our battle contestant will be going up against our gladiator.
That's right. Our audio editor, Lucas, who we all know as an eating machine.
That's right. If you are lucky enough to be propelled into the upper echelons of battle success, you automatically become a battle gladiator. You can be called upon at any time to participate in battle again as a combatant fighting for the best damn podcast ever.
Now, and this ain't partial credit success. This isn't stacking trash outside of a GameStop. No, this is full blown cancer smashing, burger swallowing success.
There can be only one.
Indeed.
All right. So let's call him up.
Hello.
Hello, is this Leo?
Yeah.
This is the best damn podcast ever. How you doing?
Fantastic.
You have been selected to participate in battle. Do you accept?
I accept.
All right, Justin Fick, what is this battle we have in store for Leo Vader?
All right, Mr. Leo Vader, we got a special battle for you because this is the first battle. Well, you will be going up against one of our gladiators. So your job this battle is you need to make your way to the nearest Taco Bell. And what you need to do is you need to get a sizable amount of their taco sauce. I prefer the mild, but whatever is your fancy.
No, you're definitely going to want mild.
You must also loot a certain number of Crunchwrap Supremes, also up to you. It doesn't matter because they're all going into a blender. And you are making the Taco Bell smoothie. Now, I must warn you, uh-oh, Leo Vader, that our gladiator, Lucas, who is also a master of eating, will be going up against you.
So we'll need photographic proof of this.
Whoever can consume more Taco Bell smoothie or provide us more entertaining pictures or whoever ends up in the hospital first wins battle.
My God.
All right. Good luck and Godspeed.
Thank you.
And he's off.
I'm pretty sure somewhere, somehow, we are all going to jail for, like, what we do on a weekly basis. So if you want to try out, if you think you have graduated like our buddy Lucas and potentially Leo to the upper echelon and are ready for battle, you either can send us an email with the subject line battle in it with your name and telephone number. Or you can call us on the voicemail line, 845-BATTLE-9, and just leave us your name and telephone number, and you will be entered into the database of the victorious.
Now, I think there should be an additional stipulation. There should be, if you win battle, you need or rather, if you want to be a gladiator, you need to earn your entry by beating one of our gladiators.
Ah, okay.
So we've already seeded the process. We've got Lucas. And I'm sure we can pick out, you know, Christian C as a gladiator.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And I'm sure there's probably like one or two more in there we can call on for duty.
Evan R, I remember.
Yeah, Evan R did a good job.
Burger on top of his building.
Christian C, that was. Did we say him already?
Yeah.
Or does he have cancer again? Look, Christian C is in a constant battle, like killing cancer everywhere. So you never know, Christian C is
like Mega Man with cancer. Like,
he is like Mega Man.
It doesn't matter how many times you killed Dr. Wily in Mega Man. He keeps coming back. We don't know why he didn't just fucking kill him in the first one. He keeps coming back. Same thing with Christian
C
and
cancer. So there's one more stipulation. You can't be a lame person. Just if you're lame, just don't bother.
You know if you're lame.
If
right now, if you have to ask yourself, am I lame? Yes, you are. Do not stop listening. Turn off this show. We ain't got time for you. All right, and this is your best damn podcast ever for Monday, March 3rd, 2008. This week in the news, Weeaboo Bible translated to ancient NES tape. World of Warcraft's looking for terrorists among its ranks, and Q&A with the EA CEO on the Take-Two merger that did not happen. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever. William Miller, what you got?
All right, Blake Buck. So I'm cruising the internets, and I stumble upon this little article on Kotaku, and apparently this is the Weeaboo origin myth. This is the canon by which all
Weeaboos are
spawned from has been ported. And I say that in quotes, it's a loose term, to the NES. That's right, Final Fantasy VII has been remade on the NES. Now, this isn't just a ROM. This is an actual tape with a version of Final Fantasy VII on it that looks really similar to the old Final Fantasies on Nintendo.
But it's got the story from the new one?
It's got all the story. Whoa. It's got almost all the characters. It's even got Chocobo Racing, if you're into that.
Oh, man.
And it even has a materia system and everything. It's got almost the whole game replicated in this tape. So it's one of the larger tapes out there. And there was the guy that posted the link to it. His blog is sort of technical on the subject, and they had some cool stuff in there about how they actually did this. But it's made by this company. Let me see if I Shenzhen Nanjing Technology Company, which is a little startup in, I guess, Japan, and they made this bootleg tape of Final Fantasy VII on it. I can't even believe it. My first question is why?
Dude, are you kidding me? Why? You're questioning why Final Fantasy VII fans would do something above and beyond the norm? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess that's a silly question.
This is like the video game version of Linux.
Dude,
it's kind of like Doom. It's like you have to port this everywhere.
Well, see, this is just a port. Somebody like went through and made an NES like it's easy to port Doom. Let's be honest. We just put them codes on that iPhone and hit compile, and it's done. I mean, a little more tricks to it than that. But seriously, like this must have taken a lot. And it's like an actual tape. Like, are they going to make money off that? What are they going to sell it?
Look, I'm telling you why they did this, because they thought if they did this, it would bring Ares back. Oh, it didn't.
Hopes crushed. No, my burning question is because Final Fantasy VII was it innovated in one very important area in the Final Fantasy series, and that area happens to be giant polygonal tits. So my question is, how are you going to get giant polygonal tits into an NES game? You can't get those tits with sprites. It don't work that way.
I don't know, but they didn't have any of the giant polygonal tits you mentioned, but they do have a Barrett that looks almost to the T like Mr. T. You should go check it out. I'm serious.
I don't want to see some hot, huge, sweaty dude with a man arm. I want to see huge polygonal tits in your NES tape, or else I don't give a shit. It goes the way of Stalker.
Dude, there is more like speaking of like polygonal tits in Final Fantasy VII. Like there is more like I've seen the most ridiculous like Final Fantasy VII porn on the internet that you would not believe. I know anybody who's been on the internet for an extended period of time has seen all this trash at least once. You know what I'm talking. William Miller knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about,
dude. All I'm gonna say about that is I'm sure is that since Final Fantasy VII. Square is hesitating putting animal characters in their games because of this.
Dude,
that's all I'm saying.
That's the hottest that's all porn.
All right, so speaking of Final Fantasy bestiality, the U.S. government is searching for terrorist behavior in World of Warcraft. So this was this article is like triple hearsay. This is like. Best damn podcast ever, got it from GameSpot, Stop, got it from Wired, got it from some goofy government white paper that was just declassified. But what is basically happening here is the U.S. government is working on some sort of data mining, and what they're doing is they're looking for what they're calling, you know, like terrorist behavior or terror or like in infiltration of virtual worlds.
Dude, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous.
I think it is too, but I think a certain amount of this is like video game sites putting their own spin on it. Like, it's because honestly, like you're not going to find terrorists in World of Warcraft because they don't play World of Warcraft.
What are they going to talk about? Even if they did, I'm sure they're going to say, "Oh, we going to meet in the subway tomorrow and blows it up. Cool, meet you there. Okay, bye." Like what? What are you gonna fucking like? They're gonna start searching text files. Like, what do you even type in? Bomb? I mean,
well, I don't know. You could look at it that way, but you could also look at it from the perspective of like, how do people organize themselves if they want to commit some sort of terrorist act in a virtual world?
I guess,
and they
but
could
it
then
seems...
maybe use that. Like, I think they're looking in the wrong place, though. You should really check out.
Well,
government.
I think what this is that they is the data mining I talked about. They're sort of looking at stats, looking at behavior, and sort of, you know, determining what the normal pattern is for playing World of Warcraft. Yeah. And that way they can put this into their magic software, their chart track, and the software will be able to tell you who is not playing by those rules. So it wouldn't be like people talking about maybe blowing up a subway or something. Maybe they'll be the software will be able to see like a griefer or something. That's my theory on it.
I really think they're looking in the wrong place. You really need to look at EVE Online for this kind of stuff. Seriously, people that play EVE Online are nuts. They sink.
Oh, whatever. You're going to tell me one game's different from the other.
No. Look, I mean, these people, like, the whole thing is set up with corporations, and I'm not entirely certain about how all this works, but it takes a massive amount of lots of people working together in one of these guilds to acquire these massive like carrier ships and big assets. Lots and lots of people working together to get this stuff. So what people do in EVE Online is they infiltrate these corporations. They gain the trust of their members, and these things take like a year or more to do. And they get in there and they gain their trust, and then they just steal all of their shit after like a year of pampering them and coaxing them. And so there's one particular group that does this, and their name slips my mind at the moment, but
They drive that boat away.
Well, they wrote a manifesto. They wrote a manifesto about it. And what happened was they stole this huge corporation's assets, all of it. And it probably took in the thousands of man hours for lots and lots of people to amass these assets. And they said, you know, the people that got stole from were like, wait a minute, you know, is this worth? This is actually worth something. This is worth our time. We put our time in. Of course, you know, the game company's like, you dumb. You got stole on, you dumb.
But, yeah, but go outside, fatty.
But I mean, at what point can we say, you know, is this valuable? Does this thing that I've put all this effort into have value? And if you can even, you know, people buy and sell digital assets all the time, so there's a currency exchange involved. So what happens if somebody steals something that took, you know, 100 people thousands of hours to get? It's an interesting question.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to say, it's, you know, it's like, how much work did you put into it? I think the question is, how much is it really worth in the end?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people will buy.
I could put 100 hours into my Final Fantasy tape, and if someone steals it, it's worth the same $10 that it was before.
No, but listen, you've got currency exchange going on. You can buy currency. It's just like in Second Life, right?
Is there a currency exchange in EVE Online?
So if it's actually worth real world money, like people are paying real world money for these assets, at what point does it become illegal to steal it? Because you can go on eBay.
That's a point. Because then you have a definite like exchange rate. You can say, well, you know, they stole this much worth of in game money, which is worth this much real money.
But they didn't really steal it. I mean, it's a game where you role play out your fantastical, you know, characters, right? So if you want to play a thief, then that's part of the game. You shouldn't be punished for playing out a role in an alternate reality game.
Yeah, that's one perspective.
How much is it worth in reverse? Like, it's, so say it's $100 to buy 100 gold pieces, but you know you're not going to go ahead and then sell those 100 gold pieces for $100. I mean, once it's in the game, I think it's part of the game. I mean, it's, and
well, that, that's,
it,
not,
it,
that's
it,
not
it,
true,
it does
though.
Give you the chance to
that's
role
not true
play
because
a
there are there are people
or what have you.
There are so, people I mean, if, that pay for these assets, real money. There are people that will pay real money for the assets, so they have a real value. There's a demand. If there's a demand, they have worth. It doesn't matter if the in-game creators created it that way or not. If people buy it, it has worth.
But you're designing the game as a fantasy. It's set up from a fantasy's perspective.
It doesn't
where you
matter.
Play out alter egos.
It doesn't matter.
Right? You shouldn't be... So you're telling me I couldn't be a con artist in the game?
Of course
That's
you can.
That's illegal?
Of course you can. But imagine
oh,
if,
then don't,
if you were to...
Pen, don't, like, judicially in real life penalize me for playing a game
no,
how I
listen,
wanted to play it.
This is how it works. What they do is they befriend you. You give them your passcode or whatever, and
right.
they go and steal all your
And that's fucking awesome. That's
I know.
How they
I,
should
I,
be
I think
playing
it's,
the
I
game.
Think it's really
coolest
cool.
mechanic I've seen in an online game ever.
I think it's very cool, but it does bring a sort of murky problem into really sharp relief. At what point do we consider this real theft when these things have real value? When the big carrier ship you just stole can be monetized, then does it constitute theft in the real world?
I would say we're not at that point yet. I would say,
I think we're not there yet.
We're at the point you can say, well, it took this many man hours, took this much in-game currency, so we can, you know, draw a parallel to that in real world money of how much, you know, got put into that. I mean, you could say that any game where, say, your character took.
Don't think about it in terms of how much in-game money it's worth translating to, you know, outside of the game. Think about how much people are paying for it outside of the game. Think about your Diablo character back in the day when you can sell them heats on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
The same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had those Diablo characters had real value because there was a demand for them and people were buying them. It doesn't matter that they existed in a game world; they had a value because people went out and paid real money for them.
But he didn't do anything illegal.
No,
the con artist.
He didn't. He conned them, and they are, you know, they're dumb for being conned. But you know what? At what point can we say, you know, this is real theft that just happened?
I tell you how. We're going to appoint Blake Buck as judge of all internet related crimes, and I will determine each of them by a case by case basis.
Okay. Well, I think what CCP said is just like, look, you're dumb. It's in our in user license agreement that, you know, if anything happens to your shit, it's not our fault, and you know, whatever. So I think it's a moot point, but it's actually a really neat area of interest.
Yeah,
and if you really want to see how like terrorists operate,
and especially,
you know,
once stuff starts really selling, like on eBay,
exactly.
If someone steals a carrier and then sells it for $2,000, then you're like, whoa, hold on, and that's where it really starts to get gray. But right now, it's like if the game allows you to be a con artist, and the game allows you to be conned, that tells you that the people that got conned, you know, the money they put into the game, they're paying to play the game, and they lost, they got their ass kicked, tough shit. See, wave bye-bye to your super aircraft carrier Jones.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. In Eve, there's no thief class. There's no con mechanic. They were conned because they put their trust in somebody and were betrayed in real life.
Yeah, and I mean, lost their virtual assets. It's not a class that you pick. I mean, it's
it would be the same thing as me. It would be
the
same thing as me going to your house and you giving me your safe code to your safe, and I just open up your safe and take all your money. You can't say that because you gave me the code, I'm not at fault for stealing.
That's why if I gotta save my house, I'm not giving you my code.
Yeah, but if you gave me your safe code and I went and stole all your shit, I would still be stealing your shit. Because you didn't tell me I could take it, you just gave me the safe code. You would be retarded for doing that, but I would still.
And then within the mechanics of this system of the judicial system, you would be punished. So I would say that in the same parallel. So in a game system, when someone gives their password to their game safe, and someone steals all their game shit, they should be, you know, tried and stuff in game. Like there would be some sort of I'm serious. Like there are games that actually have cops and judges and jail, and your character spends hours.
I made a new account. Now I don't have to go to trial.
Exactly. I mean, that's what people do. But
see, I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can do that when real money is involved. I don't think that's something that you can do legally, especially in a system like Second Life where the Linden has an exchange rate. I mean, you have to pay income tax on that stuff.
Are you ready for the solution?
Go.
Are you ready for this? Go outside and talk to some girls. There you go. Jesus Christ. I'm done with this topic.
Go tell Susie from next door how your aircraft carrier got jacked. It was someone's jank of the week.
So EA CEO speaks about the proposed Take-Two deal. So for those of you who haven't been watching the news lately, big news. EA attempted to buy Take-Two Interactive. EA, the number one third-party game publisher is Activision, which was recently overtook EA, the number two. And I believe Take-Two is about the number four or five. Aren't they somewhere in there? Take-Two Interactive?
They're up there.
Yeah, they're up there. It would be a very big coup if they had pulled it off. But sadly, or maybe not sadly, depending on who you are, Take-Two said, nope. So the deal did not go through. Let me read it. How much it was for? Over $2 billion in cash is what they offered Take-Two for the merger. So that is an insane.
That's a lot of coin.
That's a 64% premium over the Grand Theft Auto publisher's aggregate stock price.
Aggregate.
So
my God! Learn how to read.
Let me tell you something. I know more about accounting than you. I took two accounting classes, and I still don't know that goddamn word. So, see, that would have included your buddy Sid Meier, Justin Fick, or William Miller.
Yeah, I know that.
Hey, he's my buddy, too.
He's your buddy, too.
That's true.
I mean, there was speculation that this might occur, but I am so proud of Take-Two for just...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
The word was going to be a hostile takeover.
Yeah. Now,
And they were just all going to go down the shitter. That's what the word was.
We don't really need to read the interview, because we kind of know what happened, but obviously EA is trying to maneuver itself to reclaim the number one spot after Activision merged with Vivendi Interactive a few months back.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if this had happened, it would have made a very two-sided third-party market in the publishing industry for gaming.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have been a good thing or not.
They would. I mean, this is a really sweet deal for EA had it worked. I mean, they would have... They would have nixed their main competitor in the sports games market, which is Take-Two, and they would have eliminated that. They would have gotten the Grand Theft Auto franchise, and they would have
time for Grand Theft Auto 4, no less.
Just in time for Grand Theft Auto 4, not to mention, you know, of course, Firaxis and all the other companies that Take-Two supports.
And there's a bunch of them.
There are a lot of them. Vicarious Visions,
Visual Concepts.
They'd get the BioShock franchise. I mean, it would be a big deal. So
I don't know. Do you think if having these two giant publishers would be detrimental to the gaming industry long term?
Well, I think as long as there's competition between them, I think it would be okay. I mean,
where does it stop? What if you're either like A or B? You see what I'm saying? Like, you're either one or the other. Like, what if in retaliation, Activision had bought the number three publisher or the number six publisher?
I would say if it gets down to only two, because I think as long as there's two AAA, you know, publishers going head to head, that's fine. But I also like having the competition, you know, sort of like, you know, like smaller publishers like D3, they put out Earth Defense Force, you know, stuff like, I mean, stuff like that where it's, right. where it's not AAA titles, where it's smaller budget titles, smaller publishers, smaller developers. I mean, that is still legitimate competition for these big guys.
So, I'm telling D3,
as long as they're
kicking ass.
They are. I mean, I don't even know if I'd call them a small publisher anymore because they did Earth Defense Force, they did Puzzle Quest. So,
now they got Galactrix
coming out.
They
had a couple of hits. What's that?
Have you guys seen Galactrix? That's the new Puzzle Quest.
That's
it's in space.
Like Puzzle Quest in boats. Space. No, not yet. I heard about it though.
It's like got hexagons and like the pieces don't always fall down. They're like affected by gravity and momentum. Like if you're in like zero G environments and
ooh.
Dude, it looked hot.
That's cool. I'm a little excited in the pants for it.
So I'm personally a little glad that this merger didn't happen. Would it have been bad or good long term? Hard to tell, but I think the more companies that are out there, you know, competing, probably the better for the gaming industry as a whole.
I think it's risky though. Like Take-Two has not had the best time of things. They're
that's true.
You know, I mean, really, what's carrying Take-Two is the Grand Theft Auto franchise, and now like BioShock, but more so Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, they're real in a hit-based industry. If you only got these two franchises that really make your cash, you know, you're in trouble.
Well, keep in mind, a franchise can last you, hell, these days, 5-10 years.
That's
almost.
True,
I
but
mean,
let's think about how long it takes to make a Grand Theft Auto. It's taking longer each time. So, you know, it's being delayed and all this mess. I mean, you get the big boon, but what happens in the bust when you're waiting for the next GTA to come out? I mean, yeah. they're not in the best shape, and they just had that shakedown where they closed, you know.
I'll tell you what happens, William Miller. Most of the games that are in, the releases this week.
All right, this week in releases, we got Frontlines Fuel of War for Xbox 360 and PC. Frontlines Fuel of War is set in the near future, where superpowers clash to gain control of nearly depleted natural resources.
Now, I played a demo of the single player of this, and it was pretty hot. And I played the multiplayer demo of this, and it looked kind of butt, but I don't know, just because it could just be because I didn't play enough of it. But I'm gonna be real interested to see the reviews of this Frontlines game because it has a very cool premise. Like you're in the Middle East or some, I don't know, there's sand. I assume it's Middle Eastern.
But you're trying to get like enough. We know where we are.
Yeah, you're fighting over like the last oil wells in the world, and it's kind of set in the near future. I liked it. It had a cool story to it.
That's cool.
You know, games like this, like I think this game, sort of epitomizes this in particular. I mean, I'm at a point now where I can't give a shit about 95% of the games that come out. They could be great games. But I mean, I play one Call of Duty game. It's pick 1, 2, 3, 4. After that, I can't do anymore. I just don't have the time. And it's just like,
dude,
this is one of those games
where
it's just like, it doesn't matter if I have or have not played it a billion times before. It seems like I have, so I can't care about it.
Blake Buck hates change. Loves derivative.
That's
games.
Right. That's why Burnout Paradise initially terrified me. We've also got Patapon for PSP. It's coming out on February 26, 2008. An action-oriented 2D platform similar to Loco Roco and artistic style that features rhythm-driven action. This has been getting good reviews. I don't know much about it, but it looks hot. I think, is it made by the Loco Roco team? I think it is, but I'm not sure about that.
I think it's not.
It uses
the same style, and I think GameSpot gave it a 9 out of 10, so very cool review.
So, looking hot. We may take this next one.
All right. We got Lost via Domus. for Xbox 360 PC. Whatever happened to Dofus? Anyway.
I think it's still going. I think as far as the free massive multiplayer game is, I think MapleStory sort of eclipsed it.
Dude, leave it to a French developer to name their game Dofus.
But I think it's still going. Dude, I remember trying the demo for that way back in the IMG podcast days, our podcast days, and they are still sending me shit, like of their updates of all their new panda bear kung fu classes and shit. And the thing is, I can't like opt out of it anymore because I forgot my fucking password.
All right, we've also got Turning Point, Fall of Liberty. This is coming out on 360, PC, and PS3 on the 26th. This is from the The makers of Call of Duty. Oh, I was about to say, the makers of Call of Duty, what? Finest Hour. Oh. Bring you a FPS from 50s Americana, where the Nazis would have won World War II. I played the demo of this game as well. It started off with a lot of promise. You're like up on a skyscraper. You're a construction worker. You turn around. Oh, shit. Nazi blimps coming right at your face. So I was almost sold, right? They're like Nazi paratroopers you're shooting down. So it was all cool. Like it was like this kind of scripted event trying to escape the burning skyscraper. So then I got to the street and witnessed like the most awful animation and like a enemy AI ever. Oh my God, so butt. This game's gonna suck.
I tried to like it, I gave it a chance. And I see also Frontline's Fuel of War. See also, you know, million other games just like it. I mean, I can't give a shit about these games anymore.
All right, I can dig that. Just Vic, take these last two.
All right, so the last two, we got Lost Planet's coming out for PS3. So I'm sure it's quite similar to the Xbox 360 version. You control your human player and his mech in a fight against alien bugs on a cold, desolate planet that has nothing to do with Earth Defense Force, unfortunately.
It's just white. The game is just
dude,
white.
That game is good. Look, it was the jank of the week a few weeks ago. It's real cheap on the Xbox, and it's hot. I like it. It's got bugs. You shoot them. Thumbs up.
And all then, right. We've also got Sims. Oh, you want to take this one, Justin?
Yeah, you know what? You take this. I don't even want to say these words. They're dirty to me.
All right. We also got Sims 2, free time for the PC. Engage your Sims in a number of leisure activities and hobbies, from sports to car restoration to ballet. Oh, my God! What the f*** is this game? Pottery? Ballet? Like... Look, this game better have some jewel swap in it or something. Something for me to do. This is ridiculous.
Like, I think this is it. We've reached the most ridiculous Sims expansion ever.
Well, you know what, like, You know what's going to really bake your ZD? take your favorite game, Blake Buck, your favorite game, William Miller, your favorite game, my favorite game. This is going to sell 10 times more than all three of those put together.
You know why?
Because people are f***ing stupid.
People
That's
dumb.
Right.
Exactly. Dude, I've lost all respect for Will Wright. Like if he sat down next to me at GDC, I'd probably slap him. Well, maybe
now,
not.
Well, can you blame him for, you know, the, and I'm not just saying EA, but any publisher milking a franchise for all it's worth. I mean,
yeah, I guess, you know, he's not really, you can't personally blame Will Wright. But I just seriously, like, I cannot stand this stuff. I mean,
look at it this way. Will Wright is like the guy that made the atomic bomb. He didn't drop it.
Okay.
So, in a big way, he's responsible, but he wasn't the dude sending the planes out to nuke all the poor little children.
Look, I'm gonna withhold my judgment on Will Wright until Spore comes out, because I think it is going to bomb. It's not going to be fun, and it's going to be dumb.
Wait a minute.
Dude, expectations are up. Like, It's the point where if Spore doesn't come out and blow me from my laptop, it's going to suck.
Okay, here we go. Here's all the expansion packs released so far for The Sims 2. The Sims 2 University, The Sims 2 Nightlife, The Sims 2 Open for Business, The Sims 2 Pets, The Sims 2 Season, The Sims 2 Bon Voyage, and The Sims 2 Finally Free Time, making it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is the 7th expansion pack for The Sims 2.
Jesus, wow.
So here's my question. When are they going to make The Sims 3? And here's what I think The Sims 3 is going to be. The Sims 3, you're just going to open that box. It's going to be a bigger box this time. And The Sims 3, it's just going to be that green jewel. And you just put it over your head, and you are a Sim. And that's Sims 3, real life. Sims 3, real life. That's it.
See,
done.
See, now the thing about The Sims is, like, you know, I think everybody really liked The Sims for like 1, maybe 2 weeks, and then they realized, "Wow, is that it?"
Blake Buck, I never liked The Sims.
Well, then you don't play nothing. Really, you guys?
It's a good game. It was just dumb.
No, it's a good game, but like, there's no reason to buy any expansion for it. So, thumbs down.
I just want to know what goes into making an expansion for The Sims, because, you know what, I want to get in on this. Dude, if this expansion makes so much money... No, seriously, I want to make The Sims 2 furry dance party, The Sims 2 drug trafficking, The Sims 2, I don't know,
Justin,
child
I think you
slavery.
Need to milk your franchise like this. You could do Kill Monty Nightlife. You could do Kill Monty Pets.
Kill Monty free time.
Kill Monty free time.
Okay, yeah, just have Kill Monty with ballet slippers. After you murk fools, you sit down, you make pottery.
All right, guys. Now it's time for judgment. All right, guys, this week in the judgment, I've got a monster of a judgment to lay out for you. I hope you're ready. We're talking about Ace Combat 6 on the Xbox 360 and rumored to be coming soon on the PlayStation 3, though that hasn't been confirmed. So this is the latest title in the long-running and probably oft-derivative Ace Combat series that arrives for the first time on a non-Sony platform. So let's think about this. Ace Combat 1 through 5 were on Sony platforms. $599 US. It's on Xbox. I wonder if those two things have anything to do with each other. All right, so this is... you fly. Okay, for those who don't know anything about Ace Combat, you in plane, you drive around fast. These aren't like... this isn't like Microsoft Flight Sim. You drive fast plane, you shoot big guns, you attack enemies, and it's pretty awesome. So let's talk about what I like about this game. It's easily the most graphically impressive flight simulator I've ever played. You can see all the detail on the ground, buildings are modeled, you can get in real close, there's so much detail. Like, the inside of the cockpits have all the gauges fully modeled and stuff. So much attention to detail, very visually impressive. The gameplay is designed from an arcade perspective, so you get unlimited bullets, for one. You get a mountain of missiles. Like, you never have to go and refuel stuff. I mean, sometimes you do, but it's definitely not realistic in that sense. The controls are pretty easy to pick up, and you don't really have to worry about, like, much of the logistics. Like, if you want to land and refuel, if you want, you can just press start and skip that. Like, you can land if you want. I guess maybe get bonus points or something at the end of the level. But you could just start and skip it. It's got a very...
I like that. I like that style. Like, I hate having, like, you know, being flying a plane or something and fighting, and just for some reason, like, just my entire plane f***s up and crashes into the ocean because my flaps were in the wrong place.
Exactly. See, nothing like that ever happens in this game. It's all designed for, like, make it easy to pick up and play right off the bat. It's got a very authentic feel, at least in the terms of, like, the levels are very detailed. Like, the clouds look awesome. All the environments are amazing. The planes are fully modeled. Even the AI feels really authentic in how they, you know, move around and stuff. And finally... Blake Buck, now I gotta tell you guys a story. So as you may know, I was talking to William Miller about this the other day, but Blake Buck, he's on a mission from God. Alright. So part of this mission involves Blake Buck going to the tanning salon every now and then, alright? So I've been going to the tanning salon for like the past 2 weeks, right? So of course, what tanning salon does Blake Buck pick? The one that's right beside GameStop. So I'm just walking out of the tan salon, you know, glowing with the aura of Zeus.
Drumsticks are all bronzed up.
Dude, I use level 2 tanner with the bronzing lamps. I like that. Dude, I swear, did I tell you guys this? Like, when you get a tan, you feel so gay. Like, especially the first time I went in there, because it's all girly and all girls work there. And, like, I'm like, yeah, I want to get a tan. I just got done doing some crunches, so now I'm gonna get a tan. So
she's like, okay, well, here's what you're gonna do out here. Take this sheet and it shows you all of our packages. You can sign up for minute plans, you can sign up for session plans. The session plans can be changed to minutes, but there's an $8 upgrade fee. Also, you can select level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, or level 5. The thing about the level 2 is you can pay $2 upgrade fee and you can swap them over to your sessions, but if you use 45 minutes or more, you're gonna not wanna change those sessions because of the rollover minutes.
So my brain instantly exploded. I have no idea what's going on. I just throw money at her and run into a room.
Dude, you gotta level up your tanning bed.
So I get in the tanning bed, right? And it's in like this little booth, right? And I'm like, all right, so what do I do now? I guess I gotta get naked? Like, the whole time I'm thinking, like, somebody's going to open the door, right? And they're going to be like, what are you doing? Look at this boy in his underwear. What do you think you're doing, son? I don't know. I'm getting a tan. So after about
a week. You get that there scrotum out of my machine.
So after about a week, I figured this out. Anyway, so I go to GameStop afterwards, and I saw Ace Combat 6. I'm like, I kind of want that game. And then I remembered, I saw on the internet, it had like these flight sticks. And you know Blake Buck has a addiction to ridiculous peripherals. So I was like, man, I really wish you had the one with the flight sticks. But like, I didn't really want it because I thought it was kind of expensive. But I was like, man, I wish I could just like look at the box, right? And he was like, well, hold up. The dude who works at GameStop, his name is Philip, and he's an asshole. Anyway, so he calls, so he's like, hold up. He kind of goes to the back, and then he comes out, and he says, Blake, I made your day. I got one shipped here from Memphis. I was like, oh, so how much does it cost? Oh, it's $150. God damn
it! Oh my God.
So I was like, I mean, I guess I could have told him no and not, you know, but like after the dude went out of his way to help me out and like get it shipped, I had to buy it pretty much. I was obligated. Anyway, so I finally got these sticks, and they are worth every goddamn penny. Oh my God. So awesome. It's got rumble, force feedback, laser beams. It's got adjustable friction controls on the throttle.
Dude,
so,
for $150, I want a cup holder.
That side store.
Place to put my change.
Dude, it's got a hot faceplate that comes with it. It's got like, it's not just like a joystick. It's got like two parts to it. Dude, it's pretty hot. I mean, I don't know if you want to spend $150 like I did, but the joystick is damn hot. And it definitely gives you that, you know, extra layer of immersion. And also, you can use them on PC as well, the flight sticks. So if you're into PC flight sims, you can do that. All right, let's talk about what I don't like about the game. There's not a whole lot of planes. I think there's like maybe 15, 20, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, it's enough planes, but it would be cool to have a little more. Also, there's only like 15-ish single-player missions in the game. So again, not exactly. You want a little more, but it's adequate enough. Also, it's got like, I haven't played online because, you know, I hate playing on the internet, but it's got a whole bunch of, different modes for playing online. The other thing I don't like, again, the flight stick is expensive, so if you're not digging that, you could still probably have just as much fun with the original Xbox controller. And finally, the downloadable content for the game is absolutely insane. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, reskins for the plane, and they're, like, $5 each. If you were to buy all of them, like, buy every piece of downloadable content, it's, like, $40. That's a joke.
Dude, you know there's, like, 10 guys out there with, like, all the World War II rifles on their walls buying every single one of those.
But some of the downloadable... Apparently, some downloadable content is coming out this week that's got, like, new single-player missions and stuff. So that'll be cool. So... just pick and choose what the good stuff. So, overall, Ace Combat 6, easily the best flying game I have ever played, hands down. So, be sure, if you're even remotely interested, even if you're not, there's a demo up on Xbox 360, Xbox Live or whatever. So, check it out. I love it.
All right, cool. Now, I also have one for Advance Wars. I accidentally stuck it in 36. But do we want to do that, right, or do we want to keep rolling with the jank?
We can do that. Yeah, we can do Advance Wars.
All right, let's hop over to 36. Yeah, like all my shit this time, I put it in 36. So that's my news. That's what my judgment is, because I'm dumb.
You dumbs.
I can't count. All right, so I've also got a judgment this week. I've got Advance Wars: Days of Ruin for Nintendo DS. This one's been out for a couple weeks. But it's definitely worth mentioning, so I'm going to do a quick judgment. So Advance Wars, if you've been under a rock, is a turn-based strategy game for Game Boy Advance and now Nintendo DS. You can wage war. You got tanks, you got jets, you got battleships, and they all somehow involve like 13-year-old schoolgirls with neon blue hair. And but Days of Ruin takes us in a new direction. So it sort of gets rid of the old characters, gets rid of the old setting. So I mean, you don't have the old COs, you don't have the old generic colored nations. So basically, this one, the world is destroyed by meteor showers, and you're just, you know, and the characters are just like this ragtag group of people just trying to survive. I mean, it ends up having the same four factions, but it actually makes it a little less childish. So I mean, and it actually takes it in a much darker direction than the previous games. I mean, characters are dying left and right. I mean, there's like a point blank execution.
Oh, really?
Just like gunshots. It's very cool. I mean, it kind of shocked me. I was like, wow, it's like they're doing this, but it's very cool, very very fresh. And I mean, it's got, you know, all new characters. So sometimes that might be a good or a bad thing, depending on if you like the old weeaboo crap from the first couple games. But
right.
But more importantly, for me anyway, the game is really brought back to its basics. I mean, there hasn't been one this simple since the first one. So like if you played the first DS one there, Dual Strike, like they had all kinds of things going on, like two COs at once, two battles going on at once on each screen, and just all this crazy different shit. They did away with pretty much all of it, and they things that break the game. Like for instance, if you play the first couple of games, they have like the dual CO powers. So basically, what that is, when you're fighting, you build up your commanding officer's power, and if you have two officers and you build them both up, then they both go off at the same time, and you get two turns, and it basically wins the battle for you instantly. They took that shit out. And just all of the confusing stuff, like moving units between battlefields, has been taken out because there's really only one battle going on at once. They definitely brought it back to its basics, and it's a lot of fun. It's very easy to get into. It's very easy to keep on playing. Like, it didn't feel overwhelming at any point. And then the number of units has also been brought back down. Like they got rid of some of the more, you know, like the black boat was a healing unit from the old games. I took that out. I mean, it's basically brought back down to a nice solid set. It feels very balanced. Every unit feels like it's useful. Every unit has a counter. It's really cool. So
cool.
And then the other big deal for a lot of people is it now finally allows you to do online play.
Oh snap!
Now you can jump onto your Wi-Fi and you can play people on the internet. So,
but their names appear as a series of letters and numbers. Otherwise, you could put penis as your name, and Nintendo will not have that.
So, but I mean, it does have a couple of minuses. So, I mean, you know, they brought a lot of stuff, you know, back to basics, but they also removed the war room for some reason, and a lot of people are very unhappy about that. I couldn't care either way.
What's the war room?
It's just basically like it's a lot of free battling. It's a lot of like, you know, just like pick a map, you know, and that kind of stuff. I mean, there is that still to a point, but I mean, it's just not as, you know, it's not as fleshed out and elaborate as it was in previous games.
Okay, so overall, what's the judgment?
Thumbs up, big time thumbs up. This is probably the best Advanced Wars game I've played easily. I mean,
now, see, I like the original. I like the original, but I kind of got like I don't know. I kind of lost interest in like the sequels. So you're telling me I would like this more than the sequels, right?
Yes, I mean I even like this better than the original.
Oh man!
So, I mean it's got a few extra units on top of the original, but it's just as simple. It keeps you, you know, one commanding officer at once, you know, one battle at a time, you know, and it's I would say complexity wise it's the next one after the first one, and then before the second.
Okay.
So,
oh, cool.
It's very cool. Thumbs way up.
All right. Now it's time for the jank. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Oh, one thing. Oh, I just thought of this. One thing I wanted to add on to Ace Combat 6. There's this plane. You fight, like, it's like, I don't know, maybe 80% way through the game. But it's like an aircraft carrier plane. And you get to blow it up.
Nice.
And it shoots giant f***ing missiles. It's like out of Metal Gear. Awesome.
I think that should be a rule in any game. Anytime you show me something big, there needs to be some point in the game where I blow it up.
All right, so the jank for this week. Now, guys, we talked about this a couple months ago, and I said, you got to hold off. Now is the time to go to GameStop and buy Shadowrun on the Xbox 360 measly $17.
Are you serious?
$17.
Dude, that's now, $17 more than it's actually worth.
Now, see, everybody loves to hate on Shadowrun, but after my dream, as you all, do you remember that?
I remember the
dream. I had a dream where I loved Shadowrun. Then I went back and played the demo, and I loved it. So this must be destiny, me telling you guys this. Somebody's gonna hear this and go buy Shadowrun. Instead of that, they're not gonna get hit by a bus. That's why I'm telling everybody. It's fate.
See, that almost makes it worth it.
No.
Almost. Not quite.
Look, the thing I like about Shadowrun, okay, it's done by, I don't know how you say their name, FASA, it's like, is it FASA? FASA Studios? After this game did so horribly, they went under after this game. They did Mech Assault, they did a whole bunch of games. They did like Crimson Skies, you know, back, they made a whole bunch of games that I liked, but after this, you know, debacle, they've since been scuttled. But I'm telling you,
good riddance.
It takes some time to warm up to, but if you give Shadowrun a chance, it has an interesting premise. The gameplay is fun, and there's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of different ways to play. I like it. And look, I was playing on Xbox yesterday, and some dude said, "Look, even if you don't like this game, it was like $17. When I picked it up, I mistakenly thought it was a racing game from 1994.
No, but do you guys remember? I think it was my jank a while back where I had gotten this game for free.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? It is still in the cellophane. I'm hanging on to it in the event that it ends up being sort of like E.T. and maybe it's worth something down the line for staying in the cellophane wrapper.
Like, oh, definitely. I think it's on the level with E.T. Like, it's definitely Shadowrun, one of the biggest, like, marketing and sales blunders of at least the past 10 years of gaming. I mean, like, Microsoft pumped so much money into marketing this game, and then it just all fell to pieces. Because remember, like, when you were playing the Halo 3 beta... it said, like, hey, instead of playing the Halo 3 beta, try out Shadowrun. And it had all these ads and stuff, and it just never went anywhere. But I definitely think it's still a fun game if you give it a chance. Nobody gave it a chance. But if you play it for a solid, like, hour or 2 hours and play it online, do the tutorials and play it online, you'll have fun.
I still think $17 GameStop. Your life that you will never get back. Dude, you could have been playing Bioshock or Orange Box or slamming your dick in a car door or something. It's just anything.
And with that, it's time for the contest. All right, guys, I've got a very special contest for you this week. I hope you're ready. And this wasn't even my idea. One of my friends came up with this. So when I play Xbox, right, people ask me questions on my Xbox account all the time. They're like, Blake Buck, what do you think about this? In fact, somebody just yesterday was like, Blake Buck, did you buy Shadowrun? You dumb. But so I never have time to respond because I'm usually just like playing. I usually like Jesus, I'm saying like a lot. It drives me crazy. Anyway, like every time I say it now, it like explodes in my head. I watch a lot of movies on my Xbox instead of playing games if I'm eating lunch or something, so I don't usually have a whole lot of time to respond, so I use the vision camera to respond to questions people ask me. So, for instance, it'll say, do you like Shadowrun? And I will take a picture of just my face with thumbs up beside it. So if you ask me a question that's too complicated to answer via picture, you're going to have to figure it out. Like what? I can answer, like, time, you know, numbers... Or thumbs up, thumbs down. So, yeah, don't ask me who, because I can't do that through faces. Anyway, so the challenge for you... So my Xbox gamer tag is Blake Buck, and that's with all caps, no space. Not the words, just Blake Buck by itself. And the contest is to send me the best damn picture, best damn vision camera picture ever. So whatever you can think of, it could be a picture of your face... It could be a picture of your girlfriend's breasts.
I think we need to have a no scrotum clause somewhere in the rules.
It could be a picture of an Octomac. Whatever you want, add me. I'll accept any friend requests you send my way. The best picture we get by, we'll give it 2 weeks, will be our official winner of the Xbox Live Vision Camera Extravaganza. And we'll send you a shirt. Because I'm about to get shirts made. I went over there the other day, so I'm getting it together. All right, now it's time for feedback.
All right, I guess that's me. Wait a minute. Are we going to do these voicemails first? Or,
go ahead and lead in this voicemail.
All right, we got a voicemail from Anthony in Alabama. Blake Buck, why don't you cue that one up?
This is Anthony in Alabama. Must have more B. D. D. Go.
Like, it sounds like he's playing Star Wars or something in the background. Did you hear it?
I don't know what's going on.
Or like a lightsaber noise or something there. Let me see if I can isolate that. I think that is a lightsaber noise. All right, so our next one is from KG on the forums.
Hey, guys, this is KG. I heard in the last podcast that Blake actually talked to some girl, and he was about to ask her out, but I guess it didn't happen. But chances are you are probably going to meet again, and if you do, don't tell her that you had a mullet. If you tell her that, she's probably going to run away as fast as possible. If I were you, I would erase any kind of reference to a mullet that's on the internet about you and any photos you might have, because as soon as she finds that out, she's probably going to dump your ass. All right, later.
Dude, he's just jealous. Just jealous, that's all
Blake
it is.
Blake Buck, I might be speaking alone here, but I loved the Blake Buck mullet years. The mullet phase.
It's like the Wonder Years, the mullet years.
Dude, I still don't think you gave that mullet enough of a chance. I mean, dude, look, you gave Shadowrun a chance, now give the mullet a chance.
Dude, I grew that mullet for like a year, dude. I think that's more an ample chance.
I think you need to try Rat Tail next, Blake Buck.
Look, you don't even know. Look, my game. Don't even talk about my game right now, sir. All right, don't even bring that topic up around me again.
No, I'm not going. Look, okay, so Blake Buck, right? He comes to visit me in Savannah.
Look, I don't even. No, no, we are not talking about this. I am so done talking about this to everybody.
All Blake Buck could talk about was his game and how he read this book called The Game and how we should all read it. And that's all he talked about
look,
the whole time.
Look.
Now, is this the game as in the dating game or the game as in the professional wrestler?
Both.
The game
All I'm saying is Blake Buck's back in the singles market, right? And I've been doing a lot of reading on a lot of different sources, all right? And I'll have you know, look, I don't want to say anything just yet, all right? But
Wait a minute now.
What? What's this wait a minute? Ain't no wait a minute.
No, I want to hear about it.
No, look, there ain't nothing to hear, all right? I got this on lock right now. Look.
Oh, you got it on lock, huh?
Don't let the ladies hear, all right? Don't let them hear. Don't give them a preview. Look, I'm going to save that.
Right.
I'm saving this power. But
All right.
All right, so what else we got?
All right, Jeremy S. writes, I've heard about Blake being scared about people listening to IMG BDP all the way through when there are no new episodes.
Because that is these horrifying.
People, yeah, that is pretty terrifying. If these people have just problems, then I must be sick. I must be a sick freak with tumors growing all over and no possibility of being cured. I might be a little obsessive compulsive, but I need to have some kind of noise all the time. I used to leave the television on for large amounts of time, usually not watching anything, and then it was NPR. I'm glad you graduated finally from NPR to BDPE. It has now replaced TV and radio as my source of background noise. Pretty much have BDP running all the time when I'm at home. Oh my god. I have a playlist of every IMG and BDPE episode. IMG episode 2 through BDP episode 35.
Oh god.
Episode 1 sucks, so I refuse to accept its existence because the gods of gaming are perfect and never fail.
How's your day, William?
Why, it's great. It was terrible.
Oh my god.
Terrible.
Oh wait. I just read the next sentence. Like, just don't even say that.
All right. When I get home from school, I press the play button and it starts running until bedtime.
Jesus.
When I'm going to sleep, I play one single episode so I don't miss several episodes in the night. Then in the morning, it's back to play, pause when I leave for school, and it starts over again when I get back.
So, look. This dude goes to sleep to our voices. He might be going to sleep to us saying like, this right now.
No, think about this. This is clearly obsessive. He is probably masturbating to this sentence that's coming out of my mouth right now.
You telling me that it'd make you hot, Blake Buck?
More than
Maybe
a little bit.
Not.
Ooh, he naked.
Ooh, he naked.
No, look. If you masturbate while the BDPE is playing in your iTunes, it's like we were there with you. So please use common courtesy.
Oh God. All right. Else, buddy. He writes. I gotta agree with Blake Buck. DJ Atomica sucks ass. I think the gods of gaming should be the burnout. Should be the DJ in Paradise City because when, or in Burnout Paradise because when we could get. I can't even read the sentence. Why am I reading when I can't read? Because then we could get this when you lose, Buck. Well, it's somebody. I can't read this. It's
no,
all
Buck,
lower.
You
can,
read,
I can't
look,
read
Buck.
It.
Buck, you read your part. Read your part.
Well, what do you guys think of that race?
Sucks, Fick. Oh wait, sucks. There you go. You
oh shit, where is it? Oh god. Oh god.
Get it.
Oh.
It says Death Star sound. Clearly, Fick was not. Wait, Wait, can I hear that middle part again?
Do they have that little cheap, cheap kind of sound?
No, let me hear it again. I want to hear it.
Hold on. It goes...
Oh. Okay, so we can either have that or he suggests we could all just say lame over and over again for 30 seconds. Or fix swearing his head off and saying how much you suck. Hope there'll be a BDPE next week because BDPE makes my Sunday. It makes my Sunday or whenever it comes out. P.S. Blake Buck is Blake Buck. Wait. P.S. Black Smart. Wait. I can't read.
Wait. P.S. Black P.S. Smart. Fake dumb. P.S.S. The cookies says hi and they are waiting. Dude, don't write us when you're drunk, else, buddy.
Yeah, I can't. I can't deal with this. I already have so much trouble reading, like, legible words, as it is.
All right, we got one from Tim H. He says, son, WTF, what the f*** is this sh-? I got my BDPE feed, and you ain't even taking the time to fill it, or to fill in the show description for episode 35. That is Blake Buck's fault. He is lazy, okay. Smearing butter on his face.
I swear to God, you fat thinking- piece of sh-. Look, here's what happened. Every week, I got to take about 2 hours to come up with something witty and clever to write in the little show descriptions, and I hate having to do it because, like, I just want to get the show out to you guys as quickly as possible, right? We just want to get you the show. But instead, I gotta sit here and think, oh, what's something clever I can say about the headlines? Brr, 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 brr. And look, I just got sick of doing it, and I didn't even think anybody read it. So... I put in the show notes. I said if anybody actually reads this, send us an email. Guess what? We got at least 4 more emails saying the exact same thing as Tim H.
Dude, I think the problem is you just have to remember your alphabets, and that's what's taking so long. You need to go back to kindergarten.
They got them alphabet charts up there for reference, upper and lowercase.
Let's go back. Let's go to Tom. Tom says, "Hey there, Blake." Where's my podcast description, you dumb son of a bitch? Not even after listening to the show, I'm likely to be completely confused as to what it is about. Normally while I'm listening, I sit it and repeatedly, nay, obsessively read the description over and over until the show is done. It helps me tie what I'm hearing to some kind of reality. Well, who can predict what's going on? Know this. If I kill again, it'll be on your head, asshole. On your head it'll be. Love and hugs by Tom. P.S. Everyone calls you a dick in your email, so I figured that was the way to go. I love you guys, really. P.P.S. That P.S. fucking ruined it, didn't. So fuck you. That should cover it. P.P.P.S. No, really, obviously. Done it again. I wrote this earlier, saved it to finish later to correct on it before I sent it. Just realized I sent it unedited now, so you got this twice. That's double the amazing fun for you.
That's quintuple PS. That's a lot of
P's. I'm pretty sure he was drunk by the end of that email, too. Speaking of which, I need to get drunk soon. Man, I gotta go to Taco Bell and get drunk. All this is, all this and more this, on Blake Buck's life. Like, I'm gonna do the Blake Buck life cast. It's gonna be me going to Taco Bell and, like, picking up chicks all day long. And by that, I mean not picking up chicks.
Dude, Taco Bell's got some choice females.
Just take a second.
And by choice females, I mean taco sauce and Crunchwrap Supreme. All right, so,
just take this next email.
I'll take this next one. Rasmus F. writes us, them descriptions, that is. Books are dumb, descriptions are not. And that why I read them. I love how they all, like, use our grammar now. That why I read them. I pull it up while the show downloads so I can get a quick glimpse of what's to come. So, I'm off to listen to BDP episode 35, and I have no clue what to expect because you were too lazy. Have a great weekend, Rasmus F. Team Sweden.
Look, I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do now. Since I hate doing it, if one of you fucking freak shows who obsess over this goddamn description field and a podcast tag so much that you're going to email me this hate mail, why don't you write the description? And then I'll put it in. Your description will go in every week. How about that, butt face?
I think you need to just do it and quit your bitching. Like,
dude, I live to bitch, all right? You know that. Tim writes, what's up, guys? Tim here from Minnesota. Heard the latest podcast, and y'all might need some reminding regarding the shirts. I donated this to the Bicycle Battle Against Cancer for Christian C. Whenever you guys get around to making the shirts, I need at least an XL, preferably an XXL. Look, I know that. Look, we know our listener base. I like how I like how I indirectly insulted him and every one of our listeners simultaneously. This is the dumbest fucking show ever. If you are printing them too large, 6'5", 300-pound bodybuilder. Dude, you are not a bodybuilder. You are a troll. Live with it, Tim. Anyhow, keep up the great work. I'll continue to listen even though you say I need to join a support group to listen to your episodes repeat. The only people who email us anymore are freaks. We're done with emails. No more emails ever. I can't listen while lifting weights for fear that dropping the dumbbell for laughing too hard. Windshield laser slicing for the win. Blake Buck, you smart. Tim. Thanks, Tim.
All right. We got one from Zap Brannigan. Yo, chumps. Last episode, 35, was great return form for the fourth goddamn time. Anyway, recently I've noticed a lacking of album art versions of the episodes, Blake Buck, or at least a delay between the MP3 and the album art version. I realize this because Blake Buck is fat, dumb, and lazy. If you need to help getting the album art version, I would be more than happy to help or even do the album art version. Back to episode 35, I liked it, even if Wayne had to leave halfway through to go jerk off some sweaty nerds. I did. I'm sorry, I just gotta do that sometimes. Spawn and Matt K. have noticed the recent lack of enthusiasm and updates and suggested that we offer our ideas for new segments. I propose a new segment where the crew listens to things, old IMG episodes, American Idol, etc., and ridicules the shit out of them. See, I think this is a good idea because
we have that. It's called feedback.
Yeah, feedback is one. Feedback is one. But if you think about it, there is so much ridiculous gaming press. Like, if we just turn on G4 and TiVo a little bit of it, that's gold for the whole, you know, it'd be easy to make. How about this? You guys send us YouTube link, and we'll watch it and make fun of it.
That could work.
There you go. That could work.
In fact, that would even work as a video podcast, because we could have our voice over the video so you could watch it, like, simultaneously.
Yep.
All right, cool.
We should work something out with those mongoloids over at that Gamer Life. Do you remember that shit?
Oh. Is that still going on?
Probably
dude,
not.
Dude, I don't
Didn't
know.
Didn't he get, like, arrested for, like...
Yeah, like dude, one of the dudes got arrested for, like, stalking and threatening to kill, like, some girl or something.
Yeah, one of... It made the news. It was the guy that emailed us got arrested for stalking somebody.
Yeah.
I forget what happened. It's
dude,
creepy.
Dude, I'm telling you, look. I'm trying to sugarcoat this. We will never succeed as a podcast. As long as mongoloids like Game Life are somehow beating us. And I'm okay with that. I've accepted that. As long as we have, like, terrifyingly obsessive fans that email us every week, I'll sleep a little less well at night. All right, so Chris...
He also goes on to say, P.S., your mother is pregnant and I am the father. Man, if you knew what you were getting into with that one, Blake Buck's mom... Dude, I'm sorry. Really.
Oh, Jesus.
I really am. Oh, Jesus.
All right. Chris S says, hey guys, first off, just want to let you know that I'm among the people who have seen all 34 episodes in the last 2 weeks. Just kidding. I've only listened to 32 through 34 once, but I always put BDP on my iPod, and I tend to read the descriptions while the music is playing. So, Blake, I'd have to say it wasn't too much fun to find out one week you skimp out... And the 1 week you skimp out on it, I'm at home sick in bed. Did I mention it was really fucking annoying? Anyway, keep up the good work, Chris S. P.S. Blake Dumb.
I like how we have a Blake Smart, P.S. Blake Smart, and a P.S. Blake Dumb.
It's like a civil war, like, among the listeners.
Like, it's shocking to me, children, that 4 out of 5 emails are saying that they listen to the show, like, just over and over again when we don't put out new shows. Like, that's not healthy. Like, seriously, not healthy.
Well, all I'll say is while you're listening to them shows, you guys need to think of some Blake Dumb and Blake Smart gang signs that you can start flashing to each other.
That'd be pretty good.
Just Team Blake Smart represent. And Team Blake Dumb. Get them going on the forums.
All right. Kalex writes...
I'm starting Team Blake Smart, just so you all know.
All right. Team Kalex writes, hello, Boss Hog, Taco Hut, and Wayne What's-His-Face. I have one question for the hosts. I've been listening to you guys since IMG episode 20 and creamed my pants in despair when I heard you were leaving the IMG podcast. However... When you announced the BDP, I was hesitant, but quickly realized that the heat was much better then in IMG. My question is this. Do I get a free t-shirt for listening to the podcast since I was 11? or do I get a free t-shirt in compensation for scarring of my soul for listening to your podcast at such a young age?
Oh, my God. Kayla's, did you guys all fucking get together and decide to write us just the creepiest goddamn emails this week? Is that what happened? There must be some sort of like petition or something you all signed.
What I want to know is how the hell did you cream your pants in despair when you were 11? Them pipes don't even work yet at that age.
Oh. All right, well, with that, like, fucking nightmare behind us, it's time for Stump.
Actually, hold on. I did get, it was a private message in the forums. It was a guy, I guess he sent, like, 3 emails to us. And I guess maybe, like, he said they got caught up in the spam filters or something. But I just want to get this out of the way.
Our spam filters are super sensitive.
Yeah. Well, he sent
that is
us
quite
a,
possible.
An MP3 file. I have it up on my site. I'll send you guys a link to it really quick here.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. Thank you for that. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick. Itagaki is a very beloved and revered figure of the BDP as a constant source of rape.
Like, I have never been so horny for swapping jewels in my life.
My penis is hard with anticipation for Fortran.
I'm looking for some alien toilet to park my bricks.
Did I rape Ayumi? Yes or no?
A burnout. Revenge.
I still can't get over that classification, though. Burnout is a tube in which awesome stuff happens. I beat the game. I won. The Earth is saved. I don't want to collect f***ing strawberries now. Like, are you serious?
You got to remember that the Best Damn Podcast Ever is not a news site. We're not trying to be credible. We're shooting from the hip, and we make fun of everybody. And that's just how we roll.
Current and future listeners and new listeners, keep in mind that during the course of this podcast, we will take a big fat shit on your favorite game eventually.
What?
Stop.
Blam. I'm talking about a happy pirate game. You're talking about, like, barnacle torture? Earth Defense Force 2017 is for an Xbox 360 game where, in the year 2015, we found out there was aliens on some distant planet. On 2016, they sent them some spooky messages, and we formed the Earth Defense Force in case something bad happened. 2017, the aliens are here, and we got to blow them the f*** up.
You know why no one can beat Justin Fick? Because he is Shao Kahn.
Unstoppable. You, Wazoo, must go through puberty in 1 hour.
Mega Man Battle Network 4, Red Sun and Blue Moon versions. Metal Network 5, Team Proto Man / Colonel / Double Team.
It's an N64 racing game,
and SCARS was an acronym that was short for I shit you not, Supercomputer Animal Racing. Need for Speed Danger Road. Yeah.
So I bang on the door. And this dude opens up, and you know he's got his guitar. I got my guitar. I'm like, dude, I heard some guitar here. I'm here to rock.
He's got that queued up, and by God, he's gonna use it.
Pac-Man is such a pure game because, like, you need no instructions when you're playing Pac-Man. Who am I? Oh, sh**. I'm a eating man. Oh, look, I already ate those dots. I guess I need to eat all the dots. Oh, ghosts. Those can't be good. Oh, sh**, they turn blue and sad. I guess I eat them now. That's the whole f***ing game.
Go north, kill dog. Dude, that's Mr. Miller, that's what you and me are gonna do.
Go north and kill dog.
No, 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 no. That's totally inappropriate, guys. That's what we learned from the forum.
Dude, I will stick that dog in a blender and make a smoothie of it and then fire it out of a cannon in the traffic and then dance on his grave.
Heat D, go.
William Miller, make it happen, go.
Good.
Blam.
Blam.
Jake, this is the best damn podcast ever.
Games, comedy, gold.
Son!
I'll promote it Don King style. It's the slam for NBA Jam 1995.
So yeah, but that was from Sergeant Skill. Just throwing that out there.
All right, so now it's time for Stump. Hi guys, I hope you kids are ready for a stump to end all stumps this week, because I know I got mine.
I got mine. Stump. I mean, I think you guys might know what it is, but I think you guys might not have played it, so we'll see if this works.
Lay it on me.
All right, so my stump this week is Top Gun.
Top Gun.
As in the game about the movie? Yeah. Didn't that come out for like NES or Genesis back in the day?
It did come out for NES.
Yeah. See, I played that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I played that game.
Look, that game is a disappointment, you know why? Because it didn't have like hella gay volleyball sequence in it.
Dude, that's my favorite scene. Shut up.
look, it's mine too.
Nothing wrong with big sweaty men.
Well, I mean, this popped into my head when Blake Buck was talking about Ace Combat 6.
Oh, yeah?
Because I remember Top Gun was one of those games where you play it, you get in your plane, and so you're shooting dudes and shooting dudes and shooting dudes, and all the places you're shooting dudes, and after you shoot all these dudes, now you have to land your fucking plane. So, I mean, it was like,
it's still pretty hard, like...
Well, in fact, I recall it being nearly impossible. In fact, I might want to grab an emulator and just try that again just to see if it's even remotely, like, possible for a human being to do. I think I might have only landed, like, once or twice in my life. So your reward for blowing up and murking all these dudes...
See, I think landing in playing games is absolutely... It's absolutely retarded. It's like if you were to make a game about sex, okay, and you had to do the walk of shame after you were done in order to complete the level. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
What is the walk of shame? Blake Buck does walks to the other club. What? Ain't no walk of shame. That's a cooldown. It's like a spell. You can only use it every 45 minutes. 45-minute cooldown on that spell.
So your reward for shooting all these dudes is now you get to watch your plane crash into a rock. Congratulations.
Dude, so in Ace Combat 6, I played this one level, and you had to land on an aircraft carrier. Dude, I mean, I still landed. It was terrifying, because it's like, it's so small. Like, I can't even imagine trying to land on an aircraft carrier in real life. That's insane. Like, it's not even a runway. It's like a fifth of a runway, and they use those ropes to get... It's ridiculous. So I can imagine it being even harder on a NES.
Well, the thing is, on the NES, it doesn't even really give you any good kind of feedback. So it has your like plane view, and it has like your crosshairs and everything, and it shows your little HUD, and it says like, you know, too fast, too slow, pull up, pull down, all this kind of stuff, and it keeps screaming at you, and you never ever land. It just, at some point, it cuts straight to your plane crashing into a rock, like side view, like good job.
All right. Ooh. All right. Wayne Miller, lay your heat on me.
All right, y'all might actually play this game because it's fairly recent. It's fairly recent, but it's really cool. My game this week is Cursor 10.
Who?
Cursor 10?
You made this shit up, son. Cursor 10. It's probably like some jewel swapping DS game. You get 10 cursors. What color you want?
This sounds like a command line Unix program. Cursor 10.
No. Okay. So, this year at the experimental games thing at GDC, shut up. One of the things that was sort of in vogue were temporal games, and that's like where you play through the game, you play through the level once with your little dude, and then you play through it again with the little dude, but your old dude is still there playing the old run through you just did. So you can like hop on top of your dude and jump off of him and stack him and all that stuff. So Cursor 10 is sort of like, I guess, one of the things that started this whole idea of temporal gameplay. And essentially what you do is you got your... It's a flash game. You got your little mouse. You see your cursor. Uh-huh. You got 10 of them. And you go through the level and you click stuff and it gets you points. And the levels are stacked, so you have to go upstairs. You click on the stairs, it goes to the next level. So you play for like 30 seconds with one cursor, and then you get another cursor, and you play with that one. But you got to click, you got to remember what you did with the first one, so that you can click the stuff that it's not going to try to click to maximize your score. And if you play with 10 of these, you got to remember what 10 of them are doing. So it gets to be, like, the order of complexity increases with each play. But it's a very, very cool idea, and it's neat to play it. So look up Cursor 10 on Google and give that one a try.
Check this out. I guess it's a free Flash game, too, so I'll have to check this out. Do you guys ever play Gravitas? This is sort of like a follow-up. It was actually a stump at one point. It might have even been Stump Buck from back in IMG, but it's the same concept. You're like this group of time-traveling nuns who drive four-wheelers. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. And the object is there's this like derelict spaceship that's going to blow up in 2 minutes. And so you have to get your nun in there in the four-wheeler of choice and go and pick these guys up and then get out in 2 minutes. The thing is, you can keep going back there as many times as you want. You know, just travel back in time and get more people. So I mean, there's a bunch of people you got to save. You can't do it in 2 minutes, so you have to travel back in time and do it over and over again. But the thing is, your old car is still there, so it's so you have to like avoid it. So if you like collide with your car and crash, you will undo what you did in that run. So like those people will not get saved. So now you have to go back and fix that too. So it's a really cool, you know, really weird mind concept. But yeah,
see, the thing that Miller described sounded gay. The thing that you described sounded good. All right, so I hope you guys are ready for my stump for you. Now this one, you might get it. I don't know if you guys were into this game. I know it's fairly popular, but I don't know, you're also pretty dumb. My game for you, Grim Fandango.
Oh, dude.
Oh, come on.
Oh, really?
You know what? Pick another one.
We even used music from that in one of our movies. You're retarded, Blake Buck.
What are we using?
Yeah, we did.
Pick, and you get a mulligan on that one. Pick again.
Dude, yeah, you go again.
Okay,
you go again.
First of all, neither of you f***ers have ever played that game, am I right? So go eat a f***ing dick. That's right. You've never played it at
pick
all.
Another one.
Oh, I know all about that game. Oh, sign me up for that dick face. You hadn't even played it. Oh, I'll read things on the internet. All right, then fine. You know what? I got another game for you, puss face.
Oh,
reach in your closet.
Look, I'm not in my closet. That makes this a lot easier. Oh, I know I got one. Okay, my game for you is called Roll Cage.
Huh. Dude, Roll Cage are those things you pick up in RC Pro-Am that make you awesome for 10 seconds.
That is not it.
Well, I would imagine it's a racing game, but after that, okay. I couldn't tell you a goddamn thing.
All right, I got it.
It involves barrel rolls.
No. Look, you're in a motorcycle. You're on a motorcycle in a cage, one of them spherical ones, right? And you drive your motorcycle,
the cage rolls.
What
is a spherical motorcycle? What the f*** is that?
Dude, you know, like the Daredevil
shit? You ever seen a motorcycle driving around in a circular cage before?
Oh, yeah. Like in...
You're in one of them, except it's like a hamster ball, except you're a motorcycle, and you're driving around. That's what it is.
No, you are dumb. Roll Cage is a... Okay, you're on the right track. It is a racing game. It's set in the future, and you drive like these cars where the interior of the car is very small, but the wheels are very big. Kind of like, I don't know if you remember these like RC cars from way back in the day. You would drive them and they could flip upside down and keep driving even upside down.
I remember those.
Right?
Dude, you ever have the ones where the wheels open up into claws so they can climb upstairs and shit?
Oh yeah, man, that's awesome.
Dude, I used to love those things until I ran out of battery. Like, you only got like 10 minutes of play with those things, and then it was recharge battery time.
So, Roll Cage, all the cars look like that, and you could like go upside down and you would keep going. If you flipped over, you'd keep going the same direction. It had like a lot of, you know, zero gravity and riding on the roof and stuff. It was pretty cool. And they even made a second one called like Roll Cage Stage 2. I think was the name. It was pretty hot. I played it earlier today.
Dude, you know what? I totally got an idea for a game, though, just working off what William Miller was saying. So, Katamari Damacy, right? It's a Katamari Damacy game. You got your rolling your ball, but then you hit a button and a motorcycle comes out of it and goes. That's about as far as I've gotten so far.
Master game designer Justin Fick. All right, guys. Well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you think about that?
We got to finish battles, son.
We got two battles to call.
Well, we'll leave Bruce Morrison for later, but we'll call back Leo.
Call him up, son.
Hello.
Leo Vader.
Leo.
That's me.
This is the best damn podcast ever.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Well, what you got for us, Leo?
Well, if you would take a visit to web.mac.com.
Oh, yeah!
/ PYoungXYZ.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, BDPE, look here.
I love this picture pre-blend. It's just like...
Oh, God. All right, so we've got the whole epic journey here. I see the picture here at the Taco Bell.
Oh,
we got some
God.
Pre-blend. Oh.
Oh. Oh, God.
Oh, now, Leo strong. Vader, tell us, are those jalapeno peppers there floating there in your smoothie?
They certainly are.
Wow. Yeah, you added like little culinary flourishes there to this. So tell us the story. There's got to be some story.
There certainly is. Well, the first thing that happened preceding the call was I ate dinner. And then you called me telling me I had to make a Crunchwrap Supreme smoothie to wash it down with.
Dude, it's like gel. There's always room for it.
Oh, God. So look at this picture here. I noticed the last picture is you just like dead on the counter. Dude, that is awesome. You, sir, are a champion.
It's pretty good. So unfortunately, Lucas, we couldn't get a hold of Lucas. So what we're going to do, now you have ascended to the upper.
No, he's won.
Listen, have ascended to the upper echelons of the battle victorious, but we're going to provide Lucas with an opportunity to do an exhibition match. So we're going to tell him tomorrow what you did, and we're going to see what he does.
But look right. It doesn't matter. That's
good.
Total victory right
awesome.
There.
Awesome, total victory.
And I'll have you guys know, Blake is smart. Blake smart, right at the bottom of
he
that page.
Blake smart.
Wait, what?
Dude, look at the bottom. I see that gang sign. Wait,
how does that even work? We haven't even put the show out yet.
Look, you're the member number two of the Blake Smart team.
That's how obsessive our listeners are. They know what we say on our show before we put it out. Wow,
so look, awesome. Look, I'm rank one of Blake Smart. You're rank number two now of Blake Smart gang.
It's an honor.
All right.
So congratulations, sir. You are the victor. Leo, that is awesome. You are king. See, that wasn't like a bullshit win. Like we had some. You remember like the last few shows? We've had like, oh well, that's like half credit. No. You destroyed that all the way, maximum victory.
We didn't want to shame the battle contestants because, you know, they suck, they failed. But we want to give them, like, partial credits and blah, blah, blah. We don't want to be, like, heartless bastards. No, you killed this.
So, very good. You've been a great sport. And just remember, now that you've won battle, wait, is he a gladiator now? Is that what we decided?
You know, I think should that count as a victory?
I think
over
that should
Lucas?
Count as a victory. I think you're now a gladiator.
So we may call on you to be a gladiator in the future. So future combatants for battle, you may be called on to squash them like the bugs that they are. Actually, I guess some technical questions for you. How many packets of taco sauce went into this masterpiece?
Six.
How was it?
That's it?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about trying one.
It was seriously the most delicious beverage I've ever had in my life.
See, I might go and do this myself. Not as a battle, not to show my machismo, but just so I can have an enjoyable smoothie. Because summer's coming up in Vegas, and there's hot summers, and you know what? Smoothies, they're thumbs up out here. And what better type of smoothie than taco sauce?
When you first look into it, it's a strange amalgam of God and Satan. But when you first take that.
Oh, well done, sir. You have an excellent evening.
Would you say that that's an egregious?
Aggregate.
Aggregate.
That's awesome. You did a great job, and you might be hearing from us again. So you take it easy.
Thank you.
All right.
You
see you later. That was amazing.
Wow. And dude, look, he had his shit together. Look at that.
He's got like a blog and all this.
See, double points for Leo for all this.
Look, we got to plug your blog, son. It's web.mac.com/pyoungxyz. That's it.
There you go.
That's that blog. That's awesome. Y'all get up on that. Get you some hits.
All right, well, that does it for this week of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. What do you guys think about that?
It's pretty good, Blake Buck.
I enjoyed it.
Man, that was a hell of a show we just did. If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call 845-BATTLE-9. That's also how you get signed up for Battle. If you want to be a contestant, maybe ascend to the ranks like Leo did, just send us an email or call the listener line with the subject of Battle and with your telephone number, and we can get you into the database.
Also, now, see, was I not right about that, though? Was not Leo Vader a taco-eating name?
Yes.
You were absolutely right.
Yep. Dude, that's in direct relation to Darth Vader.
Also, if you want to send us any donations, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com, where you can find links in the show notes.
Uh-oh.
Or on the website. Assholes. Also, be sure to vote for us at Podcast Alley. We got to thank Lucas. Also, we got to, as much as we joke, we got to thank everybody for listening, even through our kind of slump when we don't have any shows. So thanks for staying dedicated, guys. That's probably the last nice thing I'm ever going to say to you fucking freaks. And I think that does it.
I think that's it.
Actually, I got a little something. So something that I want to try, something that we talked about, and that I want to try it out. A way to support our site. If you want, like we did two judgments today on Ace Combat 6, Advanced Wars Days of Ruin.
Oh, that's right.
What I'm going to do here, when the show comes out, is I'm going to write up a quick little post on the front page bottom, and then in those I'm going to have some links to Amazon. So we're now an Amazon affiliate. So if you want to support our show, what you can do is if you're interested in buying these games or anything else from Amazon, you can do it through our links. So you click our link, and you buy the game. It doesn't cost you anything extra. I mean, I'm assuming you guys buy games anyway.
Yeah. So if you're gonna buy either of them anyway, yeah, just click on the Amazon link. There you go.
And then what happens is Amazon kicks off the percentage of the sale.
You know what this means, right? It means all subsequent future reviews of games on our site will be glowing because we want you to buy them and give us money.
Well, that's pretty much how it is anyway. We usually don't review stuff we don't like.
That's true.
Unless we're just like making fun of it.
Yeah, unless we're specifically making fun of it.
Yeah. So that does it for this week. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.
And I...
Oh, man.
...have never played Grim Fandango. Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh! I knew you fucking asshole. I knew neither, you butt clown said, oh, Blake, oh, Grim Fandango, you might as well said Mario 3, man!
Un, dos, tres, cuatro.
That chicken pot pie was pretty good. I don't know, I like the gravy one the best. I like both. I mean, I'll eat the shit out of that. Then look, if you're signed up for Battle, it's assumed that you have access to tacos at all times.
Not like we've wasted 31 minutes and 42 seconds, William Miller. Dick face, I don't even know how to podcast because I'm dumb and homosexual, Miller. All right, I gotta go eat Taco Bell now.